God, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you that here, in the midst of all that has happened over the past couple of years, by way of worldwide pandemics, we're seeing people coming back to church. We're seeing people come for baptism. We're seeing people come tonight for confirmation. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all you are going to do in this next season. And we just welcome you this morning. And as we open your word this morning, we ask that you would speak, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brilliant. Okay, folks, well, hopefully many of you over the past couple of years, hopefully all of you over the past couple of years, got a wee phone call at some stage from the church, okay? And we did try, for everybody we had numbers for, to phone people for, you know, just to check in with you during the pandemic and all of that stuff. And it was really interesting making those phone calls. I mean, actually, O2 stopped my messages 3 times because they thought I had a virus. I was sending so many messages. But making those phone calls was really quite interesting, because what I found when I made those phone calls is some people hadn't a clue who I was ringing them. I mean, seriously, hadn't a clue. Who is this person, this weird person from Monaghan ringing them on our database? Because we've got, you know, 1,200 names there on our database. But it was really interesting. But it was also really interesting how many of you knew instantly who was ringing. I was amazed, you know, they just left the phone. Oh, hello, Simon. It must have been all those Sam videos and all the sermons and stuff. I was haunting your dreams by that stage and all that. But so many of you just recognized me completely instantly. And then there was another category of person where I rang and they were so delighted to speak to me, but 20 minutes in I realized that they thought they were talking to somebody else. And then as soon as I said, oh, it's actually Simon, they went, oh, right. Okay, so there was lots of that, but it was amazing when people were able to recognize your voice. But it was actually a couple of weeks ago, I went to visit an older lady. And I knocked the door and I shouted in, can I come in? And she said, oh yes, come on in. And when I got in, she said that it was lovely to see me. She knew it wasn't the person she was expecting, okay? And I said, how did you know it wasn't such and such? And she said, because I know his knock. I know his knock. I mean, does anybody have a particular style of knock here on the door? I don't know what kind of... whatever you do, whatever. But she knew by the way I knocked the door that I wasn't the person she was expecting, that I was somebody else. So I'll have to practice my minister's knock, whatever that is, on the door. But that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about knocking, all right? Knocking. And I want to talk to you about 3 different knocks that we see at this time of year and in the Bible. 3 different kinds of knocks. So have a wee think about that. Now, the first knock, you may have already heard this weekend. And you may have actually heard this. You may actually hear this tonight. Okay? This knock. And it's the knock of trick-or-treaters. Okay? Now, put up your hand if you've already had that knock on your door. All right? Okay? Right. So we've already had that knock. Well, it's a knock we need to think about a little bit. Isn't that right? Because as Christians, we have kind of a difficult relationship or an unusual relationship with this event called Halloween. We were having dinner in Belfast with some of my family who live in Wicklow. And they asked Eliza, who's 5 for anyone who doesn't know her, what are you dressing up for Halloween? She says, I do not celebrate Halloween. She says, we are having a happy harvest, okay? Now, I am not responsible for that, all right? I am actually not responsible for that. But this is what she said. I'm not celebrating Halloween. We're having a happy harvest. I wonder what your thoughts are on it. And I'm not here to kind of tell you what your thoughts should be on it, but I'm just interested by the dynamic. Now, some of us perhaps hate that knock on our door. You know, some of us, maybe some of us feel a bit sort of scared when we hear our door being knocked like that. But if you're a person who's not scared and who's quite happy to open your door and maybe you don't live alone or whatever, can I encourage you? We included those little stickers in a mailing to hopefully all of you over the last couple of weeks. And little stickers that just said, Marlin Parish, Jesus is light of the world. Can I encourage you, get those, wrap them around as many sweets as you possibly can and give them to children. Now, there's only two, so you're going to be fairly miserable if that's the height of it. But use the opportunity, if you do open the door, use the opportunity to just bless them and pray for them and just treat them like the wee precious people that they are, even if they come dressed as, you know, the Walking Dead or a witch or something. You know, do that. Because it's an opportunity to bless. It's an opportunity to bless. But how should we engage with this? How would Jesus engage with this is a big question. I don't know if you're aware of a little passage. You will be aware of it, actually, from Matthew 16, where Jesus very intentionally takes the disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi. He takes them from the north down to Caesarea Philippi. And you just hear that and you just think, well, that's just another place that Jesus hangs out. But Caesarea Philippi was the pagan capital of the nation. The pagan capital of the nation. Now, I'm very sorry to say that somebody from Derry, stroke Londonderry, stroke the walled city, told me about this yesterday, and it is true that USA Today say that Londonderry, Derry is the pagan capital of the world, or certainly the Halloween capital of the world. Can you believe that? Really true. But in this situation, Caesarea Philippi was. Now, Caesarea Philippi obviously was named after Caesar, and Caesar declared himself to be a god. But also there were other things that happened in that place. People kind of believed that this place was the place of the gods, but also the demons. They felt this was kind of a place, the ancients believed this was kind of a place of a thin wall between earth and the spiritual realms. They believed that kind of idea. And they believed that it was kind of like a portal place where the demons of hell could come out. Okay, now it has the highest mountain in Israel in that place, and it's always snow-capped, and they believed that demons would kind of come down on that place. So it was quite a dark place. And Jesus, in that place, asks a question to the disciples. Who do people say I am? And they give some answers, and then Jesus says, and who do you say I am? Now think about how poetic, in a sense, this is. Jesus chooses the darkest place in the nation, the most evil place in the nation, in order to ask the question, who do you say I am? And today we're going to have a baptism with Lindsay on Halloween. We're going to have a confirmation with 11 people on Halloween. And on the darkest night of the year, we're going to ask, what's your response to Jesus? And we're not just going to ask that to those 11 people. We're going to ask that to everybody. What's your response to Jesus? You know, it goes on that Jesus is very impressed with Peter's answer. He says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Spirit of God. And then he says, on this kind of revelation, I will build my church. And what does he say next? Shout it out for the live stream. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, here's another thing about Caesarea Philippi. There is a cave. Now, I have never visited the Holy Land. Has anyone visited the Holy Land here? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. There is a cave there in Caesarea Philippi. Anyone been there? And it's known as the Gates of Hell, a cave in this place. And the reason why it was known as the Gates of Hell was because it was associated with the only Greek god who's ever said to have died. And the Greek god who was said to have died was a god called Pan. And what they believed was that they would have these kind of reveling parties and kind of orgies and all this sort of stuff at the mouth of this cave in the hope that Pan would be resurrected. And they believed that that hell would come out of these gates of hell. And Jesus chooses this place to say, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What an incredible encouragement for us as we are at Halloween to think about how we respond, that Jesus would go to the darkest place and declare his identity and declare his absolute declaration that hell would have no jurisdiction over his church. What a beautiful thing for us to think that we can boldly stand against Halloween night. And we can redeem it for Jesus in whatever way that he would call us to do. That'll be different for us all, but we have an opportunity to do that. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, there's a couple of things you'll see when people come to the door. I don't know what you've seen so far that have come to your door. Hopefully it was all Spider-Man and Batman and Frozen or something, okay? But you'll probably see things like witches and power and all that sort of stuff. And you'll probably see things like The Walking Dead and zombies and things like that, okay? Maybe you'll see that sort of thing. But if you actually look at this passage that Julie read to us, it speaks about some of this stuff. The Walking Dead. What's The Walking Dead is according to Colossians 2? Well, here's what Colossians 2 says in verse 13. Now, bear in mind, remember Adam and Eve were told, if you eat of that fruit, you will die. And then you could read that and you could think, but they don't die. They eat it and they walk about. But they spiritually die. And it says in verse 13 here of Colossians chapter 2, and you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses. See, the walking dead are anybody who's not a Christian. And Jesus, through what he does on the cross, takes the walking dead and he makes them alive. What a beautiful picture we have today with this baptismal tank open. Because what we know is that we are dead. Then we come to Jesus. He takes us down into this kind of grave, is the symbol here. And then we come out and we arise in new life. I've probably told you before, my friend from Dublin who ministers in the Liberties Flats in Dublin, oftentimes the police have to come to clear away the drugs at the bottom of the baptismal pool. Because people are leaving their old life behind and they're coming alive in Christ. And that's what we have here. And how do we become alive in Christ? Well, we talked about witches and warlocks and wizards and all that sort of stuff. We don't become alive in Christ by any of that magical power stuff. We become alive in Christ by what it says here. It says, by faith in the mighty power of God. Faith in the mighty power of God. We have a powerful God. And when we hear that knock on the door, can I encourage you? You don't need to be afraid, because he that is within you is greater than he who is in the world. When that knock comes, remind yourself of that. Now, the second knock that I want to talk about is this. Hopefully it'll appear on the screen now in a second. It's this guy. Aha, does anyone know who that is? It's not Mo Salah. Anyone know who it is? Nostradamus? No, sorry. I hope it's not, or else I've chosen the wrong picture. Okay, this is Martin Luther. Okay. Now, what would have been so much better for Eliza to say when she was asked about Halloween would be to say, no, I celebrate Reformation Day. Okay. I think it'll take a couple of years, all right. Okay, but I celebrate Reformation Day. Because let me tell you this. The 31st of October is associated with trick or treat, okay? But actually, it shouldn't be for a Christian. It should be associated with the 31st of October, 1517. Because on the 31st of October, 1517, a man called Martin Luther knocked 95 theses into a door of a cathedral in a place called Wittenberg. 95 reasons why he wanted the church to change. 95 objections to the current church's practice and theology. And he knocked those in to the door of that cathedral, and the world was never the same again. 500 years ago. That's why we're here. And the reason why Martin Luther did that was because of trick or treat. Now, not quite, but just stick with me. Trick or treat. Because there were three tricks that the enemy was playing on the church of that time and the world at that time. And here's the three tricks that the enemy, the devil, was playing against them. He was telling them that to be saved, you had to do things. Like, one of the things that really annoyed Luther at that moment was a concept called indulgences. And basically, the teaching of the day was that if your loved one had passed away, that they were living in a kind of in-between place. And it wasn't until the sound of the money hitting the jar that your loved one's soul was released into heaven. I mean, what a trick of the enemy that someone would think they had to pay for salvation. What a trick. The next thing, the big trick, was that this Bible wasn't ultimate authority. That was the next trick. The devil had convinced the whole world that this was not of ultimate authority and that what men said was more important than what this book said. What a trick. And the last trick that was being told was that only certain shiny people were saints. Only certain shiny people were saints of the past. Rather than the three things which Luther knew, that salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, not by works so no one could boast. The second treat that he knew was that the Bible is our ultimate authority. And the third treat he knew was that we are all priests. Sorry, and we are all saints. The priesthood of all believers. And he nailed these things, knock, 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 to the wall of that cathedral to say, everything's changed now. And that spread across Europe and it spread across the world because these things were knocked into this wall. And folks, can I tell you that that trick is still working on some people? I hope it's not working on you. Like, I read just yesterday about Martin Luther in 1510, just 7 years before he put this on the wall and knocked it into the wall. And in 1510, here's what Luther was doing. He was climbing the steps and concrete steps, stone steps on his knees until they bled. And on each step, he was saying the Our Father. Okay, I mean, our confirmation candidates are going to kneel down here tonight on these lovely carpeted steps, okay? And they'll only kneel down once, but Martin Luther was going up these stone steps, his knees bleeding, saying the Our Father. And he believed by doing this it was going to achieve something, but when he got to the top of the steps, he said, who knows whether this is all true? And it wasn't true. It was a trick. And then he discovered in Romans the treat of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. There's a knocking on the 31st of October, trick or treat. And there's a knocking on the 31st of October for Reformation Day. And Eliza will say it one day. And this became, I hope you can see this, post tenebris lux. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sure somebody here is better with the Latin than me. Post tenebris lux. Do you know what that means? It became the kind of motto of the Reformation. What a motto for the 31st of October. After darkness, light. After darkness, light. And tonight, we're going to have 11 people on the darkest night of the year who are going to speak about the light of the world. What a thing to happen. Final thing that I want to share with you. So, knock, knock, knock. Trick or treat. Knock, 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 knock. 95 reasons for us to change and accept the treat rather than the tricks. The final one, knock, 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 are the knocking of the nails into Jesus' hands and feet. You know, it says here, think about what it cost to make you not a walking dead, but a person who is alive. You who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses. How did he forgive all our trespasses? Listen up. By cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, he set these aside, nailing them to the cross. How did Jesus forgive your sins? By knocking nails into Jesus' hands and feet. And folks, here's the amazing thing for us all. See, what the enemy's trick is to say into your ear, Lindsay, you should not be getting baptized, you're not good enough. You know, Maya, you should not be getting confirmed. Can't find her, but Maya, you should not be getting confirmed, you're not good enough. Ray, you should not be getting confirmed, you're not good enough. Whispering these things into our ears, the enemy does. But here's what we need to remember. Because of that knocking of our sins on the cross, we are forgiven and redeemed. You know what it says? It's beautiful. You know, when the nail was going into Jesus' hand, there was an unseen message on the cross. Now, it wasn't the King of the Jews thing up here that Pilate put there. It really wasn't. You know what it was? It was a list of our sins. It was a list of our sins. That's what it says. He nailed them to the cross. And the way that I like to imagine it, if you want to be poetic about it, is I see a big list there full of the things that Simon has done wrong. Oh my goodness, I'm so glad you can't see it, you know? And it was just nailed in behind Jesus' hand. But the blood of Jesus just washed all that list away. And so when the devil comes to me and he says, Simon, you're no minister, you did this and you did that. You still do this and you still do that. And he condemns me and throws those things at me. Do you know what I say? I say, it's been dealt with. The blood of Jesus has wiped it out. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is from the Old Testament in Micah. I just love this. And let's just listen to this if you're a person who feels under condemnation. This is Micah chapter 7. You'll easy to remember if you want to look it up later. Micah 7:7, okay? And takes you on to verse 10. Micah 7:7 is easy to remember. But as for me, I look to the Lord. I wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not over me, my enemy. Rejoice not over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication. And then my enemy will see and shame will cover. He who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look and now he will be trampled down like the mire of the streets. Rejoice not over me, my enemy. Why is it saying rejoice not over me, my enemy? Because the sins have been dealt with. And the powers of darkness have nothing on you. If you're a person who's trusted in the work of Jesus on the cross. You know, knock, 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 knock. Think of the trick-or-treaters. Remember that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Knock, knock, knock. Remember the Reformation. And remember the treat of grace against all those tricks of the enemy. And finally, knock, knock, knock. Think of the nails that were driven into Jesus' hands so that you could be made alive in Christ. You know, I really hope that there are no kind of, when they say trick or treat, I hope they don't do wee tricks. I really hope they don't, you know. I wouldn't like that. And I hope there's no tricks played on you. But you know, I really do believe the cross, and maybe some people would disagree with this, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, you know. But I really do believe the cross was an unbelievable trick. I really do believe it was an unbelievable trick. Some parts of the church think of that. You know, the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, they call that Holy Humor Saturday because they believe that God played the ultimate joke on the devil, the ultimate trick on the devil. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians that if the powers of this age had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, they didn't know. Like, why would the devil enter Judas to set in motion his ultimate defeat? Why would he do that? Why did the demonic hordes do what they did in order to lead Jesus to the cross? Why did the powers and authorities make this happen where Jesus died upon the cross if they had known that that would be the ultimate victory of Christ? Christus Victus. Why would they have done that? But they didn't know. They were doing their worst to Jesus on that cross. But God was doing his best for us. And you know what it says here at the end? And think about this for a Halloween verse. It talks about how the record of debt that stood against us with his legal demands, then he set it all aside, nailing them to the cross. And listen to this. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. What has happened upon the cross is the complete defeat of evil. The complete defeat of evil. And where the cross for us is grace, 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 grace. Do you know what it says here? It says it's disgrace for the powers of evil. Think of three knocks. Just don't let that out of your mind. Think of those three knocks. The trick-or-treats remind yourself that the light has come and darkness cannot overcome the light. When you think about the Reformation, think first darkness, then light. After the darkness, light. 95 changes with treat, treat, treat instead of trick, trick, trick. And finally, think and always think of the cross of Jesus. Ask yourself, have you received the cross of Jesus? Have you received the grace and brought disgrace to the enemy? We're just about to come for baptism. But let's just still our hearts for a second. And let's just ask ourselves, have we died to our sin? As Lindsay's about to go under the water, into a watery kind of tomb, have we died to our sin? And have we risen to new life? Have we entered into the grace of Jesus completely and absolutely? The treat of grace. Have we enjoyed that treat of grace? And are we living lives that bring disgrace to the enemy? Holy Spirit, come, speak to your church. Holy Spirit, make us a church who are people of the light and not of darkness. Holy Spirit, make us people who are truly blessed by the Reformation, but even more so blessed by the cross of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.